Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my incredibly gingerbread-tastic co-host, Mr. Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm never eating a gingerbread cookie ever again.
Dude, Shrek killed that for me. So, let's call a spade, Shrek. It was nice to see it, but Shrek.
See, I lasted all this time because I never saw Shrek.
You never saw Shrek?
I refused to see Shrek.
What did it? What?
Yeah.
Didn't. How the hell am I friends with you?
I don't know. You've made some questionable life choices, my friend.
I've made no questionable life choices. I am amazing. If anybody's made questionable life choices, it's the people in my life. But anyway, before we do that, we might as well get into. Because we have a show and a half tonight. First of all, let's address the elephant in this room, which would probably be me. We were off Monday. We do apologize. It was Labor Day. Half the people didn't expect. We didn't record last night. To put it out there, folks, bluntly, my eldest called us Saturday morning and had to be rushed to the hospital. Nothing life-threatening or anything like that. But we spent the holiday weekend. He's okay. We spent the holiday weekend in Oswego Hospital. So it was really great. Shout out to them. Well, dude, it was 100%. I got to tell you, I was scared the whole time when they were like, you have to go to the hospital. And they're like, you want to Syracuse or Oswego? Which is basically like asking, do I want to die by fire or drowning? So neither one was appealing. But I figured it's closer and we needed to figure it out. So we went to Oswego. And back in the day, I mean, this is no joke. I used to be like, hey, you know, like, you don't go to Oswego Hospital unless you're in an ambulance because you don't ever choose to go there. They hated the students. They really did. Like, you know, you walk in there and they're like, have you been drinking? I'm like, no. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. Are you positive? I'm like, fucker, yes. You know, and they're like, have you been on drugs tonight? I'm like, no. Are you sure? Yes. Oh, so you're saying you are? No.
I'm hoping there's but things have changed.
Yeah, things have changed. It was 100% better. It was all the way around when we got there. Everything, they were really great, and they really took care of my son. And, you know, we brought him home for a couple of days to let him recoup here because it was viral, and we didn't want to get his roommate sick. But he'll be going back this week, and life will be good. And so now before we untap, I should untap, and we have a brand new flavor. Hashtag I'm not sponsored again, but Oktoberfest.
Nice.
So it's that time of year. So we'll be
also
my first
orange,
taste.
But it's just seltzer.
Yes. Well, it's the hard seltzer, right?
No, it's just mandarin orange.
Alcoholic. No, I'm going to try this the first taste. So we'll see how it goes. If my face looks weird, then it's lousy. So
pumpkin spice awfulness.
Oh, wow. That's all right. That's really good. Ooh, it has a kick. Ooh. Spicy. Ooh, I like it. Okay. Spicy. It has a second flavor that hits you in the back, almost like an IPA. That's really kind of cool. All right. So untap, upkeep, and draw. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of things to go over tonight, folks. Here's what we're going to go over. You might have seen a Throne of Eldraine trailer that popped out today. They put it out. We're going to kind of mention it, go over it a little bit. But really, we've also gotten the first round of real spoilers from Throne of Eldraine. These are the cards that are going to be standard legal beginning in 3 weeks. They've introduced at least two mechanics that I can see of a food token and the sorcery adventure. We're going to go through that. Then we're going to talk about they even then came out and said, hey, by the way, next year, 2020, here's what's coming. And that's exciting. Then we're going to go ahead and go into combat. And everybody's talking about this. I almost did a podcast last week on it because it was such a, the historic format inside Arena. We want to kind of go over that. We're going to do that in combat phase. And we feel the need to say that we don't always fight in combat phase. And I have a strange sneaking suspicion tonight that we're both going to be on the same page this one. We're just fighting mad over it.
Historically bad.
Oh, it's just awful. And then finally, we're going to talk about the Brawl of Red on Arena if there's time. So, but let's, you know what? We are going to put our foot on the gas here. We're going to go like a red player. And here it comes.
Main phase.
Throne of Eldraine is now being spoiled. Okay, here's the thing. They shouldn't call it spoiler season because it's Wizards doing it. So they should call it something else, like, you know, preview season or, you know, because it's just, you're not, it's not spoiling if you're showing me. It's marketing at this point.
Although there was one actual spoiler.
Yes, there was. It's really kind of great. The trailer came out today, and I watched about 5 minutes of it, and then we lost power at work, so I had to deal with that.
That's all the whole thing.
Twice. I can talk about it. We lost power twice.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So on payroll day. So during a holiday week.
Oh, I bet that went over like a lead balloon.
Oh, and he's all by himself. So yeah.
That'll do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Thorn of Eldraine trailer. I like it. It's following up after, you know, the awesomeness that was the War of the Spark trailer. This one obviously is not on the same level. I don't think they were going for that. It was very entertaining. It told a story. I feel bad for Gingerbread Cookies now. That's a thing. I may have to seek therapy for that. Thanks, Wizards. But it was good. I like the song choice. It was kind of cute. It was kind of trend, kind of catchy.
It's an older song.
It's an old song. Yeah. And it just, and like, if you, when you watch the trailer again, when you have a chance at the end, it takes kind of a darker turn.
Of course it does.
And it's kind of cool. But I really enjoyed it. It got me hyped for the set. I'm really looking forward to it. So spoiler alert, there's a certain someone sitting behind Will who makes an appearance in this trailer.
Is it Pennywise the Clown?
Yeah, you know, almost as scary. Almost as scary. Garrick is back.
Nothing as scary as that. Screw you.
We're seeing that this weekend. So Garrick is finally back. He does some Garrick-y things. He smashes. He does Hulk things, breaks stuff. And watch the trailer. I think it's good. It's definitely entertaining. It's worth the 5 minutes or so that it takes. And it gets me, you know, I'm all hyped up for the set. I'm ready to go. And then, you know, they started spilling out cards. And yeah, let's do this.
Well, there are some spoilers. So what are you using for spoilers, by the way? What site are you using?
Right now I'm on MTG Nexus.
Okay. Well, I'll go there so that we have the same. I was on Scryfall, but it looks like they were...
They don't update quite as quickly.
I was noticing they wait today.
For like official spoilers.
Yeah.
So you were right on the two mechanics you were talking about. There is a third one. And Wizards does talk about this one already. It's called Adamant.
Oh.
And this sort of leads into some of the things we're going to be talking about later. A spell with Adamant has an additional or replacement effect if you spend 3 mana of a single color to cast the spell. So, for example, let's use Embereth Paladin. Okay. It is a 4/1 creature, human knight, for 3 colorless and a red, has haste.
What's it called?
Embereth Paladin.
What color is it?
Red. So it's a 4/1 for 3 colorless and 1 red with haste. The Adamant ability says if at least 3 red mana was spent to cast this spell, it enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. So you could have a 5/2 haste for 4 mana. Not the greatest thing in the world. It is a common, but there's several other spells that have the Adamant ability where if you spend 3 mana of a certain color, you get an additional effect. Or in some cases, it replaces the effect. Like Slaying Fire costs 2 and a red. It's an instant. Deals 3 damage to any target, but if you Adamant and spent 3 red mana to cast it, it deals 4 damage instead.
Which was that called?
Slaying Fire.
Oh, it's right there. Okay.
Yeah, right next to it.
If you guys could, if you're watching the podcast right now, we found a way to share the screen. So I'm actually showing the cards.
So there's Embereth Paladin in the middle. There's Slaying Fire. And you're scrolling down, you see some of them. There's Garrick. So they introduced the food mechanic.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a food token.
The Gilded Goose that has food.
What is it? Well, here, right here, yeah. Golden Egg. Nope. Gilded Goose, you said, right?
Yeah, Gilded Goose. So it's a 0/2 bird creature for 1 green mana. Has flying. I get the feeling that this is sort of their take on Birds of Paradise. Because when it enters the battlefield, you create a food token, which is an artifact that has the ability of 2 colorless, tap, and sacrifice this artifact. You gain 3 life. You could pay 1 and a green and tap the Gilded Goose to create another food token, the golden goose, you know, the goose laying the golden egg.
Right.
Fairy Tales. I love this set for the flavor. It's just dripping with flavor. You tap and sacrifice
food. At some point. I'm going to have to at some point isolate that. That's going to be a drop. It's just dripping with flavor. Thank you. Thank you so much, Aramis, for that. Thank you.
Great. I love that. And that soundbite was even better. So you tap and sacrifice a food to add 1 mana of any color. So food tokens in and of themselves have an effect, but there's a lot of other cards in the set that use food tokens to do other things.
Right. It's just that we've seen so far.
It's just awesome. It's just, there's so much little nuance and stuff that's going on with this set. It's great.
Yes, totally.
And then the last new mechanic that they've revealed so far are the new sorceries called Adventures.
Which I will find one. Those look to be pretty much green and black. I think so I've seen, and red. There's a green, black, and red. Okay.
Yeah, so far. I mean, I think
they're going to be. Actually, if you look on the screen, I've got a green, black, and a red.
Yeah. So what happens is this looks different. I mean, this is a completely different, this is a new thing that they're doing. So all the adventures so far are also creatures. Now, the way that it works, you can cast these spells as regular creatures. You ignore the sorcery part in the lower left-hand corner. And they just do what they say on the right hand side. So say Lovestruck Beast, which is Beauty and the Beast. This is great. Right. It's a Beast Noble. It's a 5/5 for 2 and a green. It can't attack unless you control a 1/1 creature. That's still, you know, it's in green, so you're gonna have 1/1s, you know, little mana dorks and whatnot. But if you notice, it has the sorcery adventure is called Heart's Desire, which is 1 green. It creates a 1/1 white human creature token. So here's how they work. If you, like I said, if you cast it as a creature, you ignore the adventure part. If you cast it as the sorcery happens. If it resolves, the card gets exiled. You can then cast the creature part of it from exile whenever you could normally cast a creature. So if you were playing a green deck, you could say turn one, play Heart's Desire, get your 1/1 dude. Turn two, play a forest and, like, I don't know, a Paradise Druid. Turn three, you could tap 3 mana to cast the Lovestruck Beast out of exile. And you have an extra green floating to do whatever you want. But there you go. It's a turn now, turn three, 5/5.
Do we know yet on interaction as far as that goes? I had some questions on that. Like, okay, so I'm going to cast Heart's Desire.
Yes.
And I'm playing you. And you're a dirty, stinking, rotten control player.
Yes.
Who said, screw you, Dovin's Veto.
Yes.
And now, does it still get exiled, or it's countered? Right, it's going right to the
graveyard. It only exiles if it resolves.
Okay.
The other thing too to keep in mind is when this card is in your hand, in your graveyard, in your library, it's just a creature. It's not a sorcery, so you can't search for it in your library if you're searching for a sorcery card, or if someone casts a card that says, you know, discard a non-creature spell or non-creature card.
You have to.
It doesn't see the sorcery part. So what happens is you cast the spell, the creature goes on an adventure, and when you're ready, you cast it, and it comes back.
Yep.
Flavor!
Yeah, so after War of the Spark, after Core 20, I'm kind of down with this. I mean, there's some power in here. There's some, you know, new mechanics and things that are really kind of cool, but it just seems more fun. If that's it doesn't seem like raw power. Like War of the Spark was raw, just in your face power. This is flavor, and these are, you know, it's gonna shake. Standard's gonna be a bit of all right.
Yeah, I mean, there's some very interesting cards in here. Like I like Midnight Clock.
Yes, Midnight Clock looks fun. Well, it seems like that. Let me see if I can find it. I'll get it back on the screen here.
If you're on Nexus, it's toward the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, because it was one of the first ones they released.
Yeah, so Midnight Clock is an artifact for 2 and a blue. So they're doing the whole colored artifact things. That's not going anywhere, like it or not. I'm not super keen on colored artifacts, but I'll get used to it. It's a mana rock, so it taps to add a blue. You could pay 2 and a blue to put an hour counter on Midnight Clock. Also, at the beginning of each upkeep, you put an hour counter on Midnight Clock. So when the 12th hour counter is put on Midnight Clock, you shuffle your hand and graveyard into your library and then draw 7 cards and exile Midnight Clock. I mean, it's Cinderella's ball.
It is.
This just makes me happy to see this. I mean, there's like they took every possible little nugget of story and lore that they could cram into this set, and they've done it. And it works. I mean, they've just continue to amaze me at how good and how well put together these sets are. Not even necessarily on power level, just on, like I said, flavor. This is just like a big delicious barbecue brisket sandwich with that sauce that just comes dripping off the sides. It's all like it's all over your hands, and you need like 25 wet naps, but it's not enough. But you don't care. You're licking your fingers anyway.
Right.
It's going to be a good set. I don't care how powerful this set actually ends up being as far as tournament play is concerned. The flavor and the just the
drafting alone.
The drafting the limited. Great.
Yeah, the limited on this is going to be just insane. So much, you know. Yeah, it does. It looks. It doesn't feel like a normal Magic set.
But they all. But keep in mind too, they are also only just now putting the very mm-hmm. beginning pieces out there.
But that's the point. But the point I'm making is, it doesn't feel like a normal Magic set. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Again, we had the Pinnacle. I'm sorry, War of the Spark. I mean, all Planeswalkers, and then Core 20 went just ape. Like, to kind of do this is kind of like a palate cleanser. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. we're gonna step away. I mean, we've been in blocks for 3 years, so the same story, and you know, expecting the same type of cards all through a set. Like, this is a one and done. This, and we're gonna talk about this in later on. Is that mm-hmm. you know? And I guess we could talk about it now because I can think that's next. Is that, you know, they also today they went through the four sets and
yeah, for next year.
Yeah, for the next year.
I am gonna say something really quick. It's funny that we're calling this the palate cleanser because Core 2020 was supposed to be the palate cleanser. And that ended up being like one of the most impactful core sets that's ever been printed.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, it was not a palate cleanser. It was definitely 100% something different. And, you know, I'm here for it. Again, I'm here for it. I want to see things like this, but yeah, this looks more like not more of the same. It definitely I guess is what I'm saying. It's like, it seems different. It seems like a whole different idea.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and then again, like I said, and they're kind of leading us towards a new world. Like, this came out today, and I'm going to use Hipsters of the Coast for this. The next four sets came out, and so they're on the screen now in Q1 of 2020. We're going back to Theros.
You called this one because remember when we were looking at all the Ravnica cards and looking at, you know, like Niv-Mizzet and the uncommon cycles for the guilds, and then you know, like even Bolas' Citadel. We're like, look at all these pips: triple black, triple red, triple blue.
Yeah,
we got to be coming back to Theros because devotion is going to be a thing.
Back to Theros.
Welcome back, Elspeth.
Yep. And then, you know, they're going to go to a new plane, Q2 Ikoria. They call it the Lair of Behemoth. I got to figure this is just going to be in your face power.
Big creatures.
Yep. Big dumb. This is going to be a green haven. Core 2021, obviously, we all knew that's coming. And then this was, I think nobody saw this coming. And it's really fun to think about what this could mean. We're going back for a third time, right? Third time, right?
Yes.
Maybe fourth?
Third time.
Zendikar Rising. So
it'll be my first time.
Everybody's saying the same thing. Fetch, boy. Fetch. And I'm here for it. Please give us fetch lands.
Yes, please.
Dear God, put fetch lands in standard. Put fetch lands in modern again, which, I mean, they're already there, but we'd like to afford them.
Yeah, so. I don't want to have to sell off my kidney to get a playset of fetches.
Yeah, again. So, I mean, yeah. he did once, and he didn't get the playset. It was actually, you know, he got taken on PayPal, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But
I do have to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard what the theme of Core 2021 is going to be.
No.
I don't think you're going to like it.
Oh, dear.
You know how they've been doing Planeswalker sort of storylines and stuff for the last couple of years with Nicol Bolas and Chandra? Apparently, Core 2021 Teferi. Is Teferi.
Of course it is. Because so Teferi,
all the time.
Because Teferi is going to, or Threeferi is going to, is rotating out. So they have to do something. I'm dying. I'm not surprised on that. I figured one of these sets, we're going to get another Teferi because he's been, you know, and I'm here for it. I get it. You know what? It's him. It's Gideon. Chandra, well, not getting anymore, but it's hit. Well, going back to Zendikar.
Yeah, well, Gideon's from Theros.
I thought he was from Zendikar.
No, he's from Theros.
Oh, even better. Yeah, so something's going to happen. Gideon's brother's going to show up, like, you know, Ezekiel Jura or something. I don't know.
Well, but I think if you look, if I'm just, you know, thinking off the top of my head here with Core 2021, it's probably going to tell the story between the time that he sacrificed his spark during the time spiral block and the time he gets it back on Dominaria. Cause that's a big chunk of time. That's like a couple hundred years or 50 years or some long amount of time that he doesn't have a spark. So maybe they only show him without a spark, or they only do the one planeswalker card when he gets his spark back initially, or maybe they just reprint Hero of Dominaria.
They are not reprinting Hero of Dominaria.
No, they would never do that. That would be rather silly.
Just
reprint him, make him cost two.
I don't want two more years of him.
He's coming back.
I know. Thrifari is bad enough. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is great. Like, I'm in. You know, it's hard to top Ravnica. The minute you bring up Ravnica, everybody got excited. We all thought the same things. We're going to get guilds. We're going to get shocklands. We all said that they wouldn't do the shocklands. We were like, figured they'd find some way
shocklands.
Yeah, but we were like, no, they won't give us shocklands. They'll find some way to, they'll make like a pseudo shockland, which is probably what they're going to do with fetchlands. Trust me, they're gonna find some way to like, hey, you think you're gonna get fetch lands? They get no, you're not getting fetch lands. Well, I mean, if you use something called catch lands, you throw all your lands in the air and whatever you catch, keep. I don't know.
I mean, they might make fetches that can only fetch actual basics.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I could see that.
You know, you it's the exact same thing, but instead of saying a swamp or a mountain card, it's just a basic swamp or basic mountain. So that way you're not getting your duels off of it. But also, too, here's the interesting question is that we know that Emrakul is locked up in the moon on Innistrad. We also know that Emrakul did that on purpose.
Right.
So will we see Mommy Cool coming back?
I think so. I think part of Zendikar is the Eldrazi, is it not?
Yeah. I don't know that they killed them all at the end of Oath of the Gatewatch. I'm pretty sure there was still some left, right? I mean, two of the Titans were dead.
There'll be new ones. They'll find some way to have new Eldrazi.
Well, for me, that makes me excited because, like I said, I've never played it. I've never played a Zendikar set. So if there's a chance for me to open up an Eldrazi.
I did, and it was fun. Coming back into Magic, my first coming back after I got rid of all my cards was Battle for Zendikar. So, I mean, I have some pretty powerful Eldrazi, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, all right, this looks insane. Everything's colorless. Why would I want that? Oh, I didn't understand. But it's definitely, you know, I'm pretty excited for what's coming for the year. I'm pretty excited for, you know, even Throne of Eldraine. We've got 55 cards out, I think, right now because of the Brawl sets. Spoiler season is going to be about, I think spoilers are going to be like 300 and some odd cards. So
yeah, they're on 320, 331. Yeah. Well, also too, a lot of them might be counting to some of the alternate frames as additional cards.
Maybe. I don't think so though.
It's hard to say how they're doing this. Yeah. We're going to have to wait and see until they spoil the whole thing, but this looks like a solid set.
We're 2 days in. They started it Tuesday. We've got 55. So you've got to figure we're going to get 20 to 25 a day. So it's going to be over the next 2 weeks. So yay, content. And I mean, it's all so far so good. You know, some of them are kind of like,
it's been a lot of commons and uncommons. So they've really only spoiled a couple of rares, two of the mythics. Really, actually, technically three, if you count the
shown a lot of the mythics as far as because of the event, which we'll talk about. They've spoiled almost, I mean, they had to spoil the Brawler mythics because...
Well, yeah, but they're not part of the normal set.
Well, they're numbered.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, booster packs, you can't open these cards in booster packs.
Right. And, I'm kind of excited to, I mean, you know, I'm really kind of excited for Arcane Signet for some stupid reason. Like, it's like, yay, it's sort of Sol Ring in standard because I play a lot of Commander lately. So,
but I don't know if that particular card will be standard legal.
Arcane Signet?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to be Brawl legal only, I think.
Yeah, Brawl Commander.
Yeah. No, Brawl and Commander, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of excited. I mean, we can talk about that. That's going to be our second. But, yeah, the whole set looks really just amazing. There are a lot of fairies, which, you know, I'm on board for. I haven't seen a lot of wolves yet, but with Garrick, you got to figure we're going to get some more. Yeah, I think wolf tribal is going to be a thing.
Doesn't he make wolves? He does make wolves.
He does.
So.
I think Wolf Tribal, the stuff they gave us in Core 20, we said it when 20 came out, that Wolf Tribal is going to be a thing.
Yeah, why print the Night Pack Ambusher if wolves weren't going to be a thing? And even still, Arlen in War of the Spark.
Yeah.
And then there was something else, too. Well, I mean, Ferocious Pup and all that other stuff. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of wolves in the next couple of sets.
Yeah. And again, I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm hoping for at least one or two vampires to replace what we're losing. Otherwise, vampire will be dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep your hopes up too high on that one.
Really? Oh, that sounds like something.
I see a lot of knights.
That's something you're going to eat your words on, I think, next week. I think next week we'll be like, yeah, here, for those of you that weren't listening, here's Aramis saying.
there's tons of knights.
Yes, in black. There are tons of knights.
And white and red. So I don't see it. I mean, it could definitely happen, but I think it would be one of those things where, like, it might be one, it might be two.
Right.
But it's not going to be, like, a themed thing. It looks like knights are really where they're going with black, white, and red.
Yeah, no kidding on that one.
And humans and stuff like that. So it's less of the horror type of fairy tale creatures.
It's going to really be interesting, too. Like, humans could become a thing again.
In standard, yeah. Yeah, there's, like, plenty of humans.
There's enough humans in here. And they're all legendary. Oh, no. Are these legendary? The sorcery adventure? They're not legendary.
No, they're not. They are not.
Yeah, there's a human warlock, artificer, knight.
That's the first warlock in the game, I believe.
What, the Shittering Witch?
Yeah, I believe that's the first warlock creature type.
Wow. I like that. So, I mean, you know, there'll be more spoilers coming next week. Obviously, we'll go over some more of that. But we've got plenty to talk about. I mean, we're a little bit early even. I thought we would spend a little bit more time, but I'm kind of for it because I have a feeling this is going to be a good topic. Let's go ahead and get right into combat.
Combat phase.
Okay. So
combat phase.
If you are any sort of listener to Magic content, podcasts, video casts, YouTube channels, whatever, hanging at your LGS, you have probably heard what we're going to talk about next. Mm-hmm. Wizards came out, I think, on Tuesday, which I was so sad it was Tuesday. And they finally answered some questions about the Historic Edition for Arena and what that is, because they're getting close to rotation. And basically, they made the announcement that your cards in Arena, they're not going to do a reset again. They're not going to, you know, the cards that you have that are going to rotate out, is they're going to be used in what's called Historic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Some of it, kind of great. Kind of good.
The initial thing where they're saying, hey, your old rotating cards, we're going to make a new eternal format. You're going to be able to play all these old cards. Okay.
I'm in. You know what? It'll be nice to know that Hero Dominaria, he's going to still have a role. Yay. Great. And then, as Wizards is wont to do, they kept talking like a guy at the bar who seemed incredibly charming on the second beer. But by the fourth beer, you had the feeling that he was probably wanted in at least three or four states and you should run away screaming as fast as you can. Well, Wizards has kind of did that here. Because then they kept talking about other cards and what they want to do with Historic. So they originally were just saying, it was going to be a non-rotating format of Historic. They would only be available as best of one play queue. So, you know, people said, well, we really want to have ranked. We want to be able to play it. We want it to be comparable kind of to MGGO, which was going to take time, but it's possible. So then Wizards is like, well, after considering feedback, we went back to the drawing board and decided on some core criteria for our non-rotating format. And they said it basically, you know, there should be competitive aspect ranked to it. There should be some valence for long-term health of MTG Arena, which to means, that is a very telling statement, because that to me says, okay, we have to balance our core business of selling you standard cards that are going to rotate out. So what they decided to come up with is, instead of going back and reprinting entire sets, you know, starting at what would probably be Origins, because as I understand it, they've got the Kaladesh block in there.
Yeah, Kaladesh
block. They have obviously the Amonkhet Hours of Devastation block in there.
Uh-huh.
They do, you know, and then at least half of the Shadows over Innistrad, either, you know, I forget what it was called, but they have half of that in there.
It was like Dark Ascension. No, not Dark Ascension.
Eldritch Moon.
Eldritch Moon. Thank you.
Yeah. So they have that in there. Okay, that's fine. So instead of going back and going to Shadows over Innistrad and then to Origins and then to Battle for Zendikar and to the Oath of the Gatewatch, they've decided, and I'm kind of okay with this. They said, hey, instead of printing these entire sets, what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to go through like meta decks and the cards that people would really want. Now, do I think that means fetch? No, but I think that's one of the reasons they're going back to Zendikar, is so that next year they can bring fetch into Historic. Okay, I'm in. You know, so they talk about that, how they're going to bring these old things in. 15 to 20 cards in November with a recurring goal of adding more new cards every quarter after that. So you're going to get about 15 to 20 non-rotation historic cards to use in this historic format. Okay. You know what? That's cool. They're talking like, I think, Mind Eraser or, you know, what was it? The Worm.
They're talking some pretty, this is the first point that got me kind of upset. They're talking stuff like Worm Coil Engine, Snapcaster Mage, Dark Confidant.
Yeah, like some major heavy hitters.
And I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Because Worm Coil Engine automatically becomes the best six drop in the format. Everybody's going to want to play four.
Right. Well, we haven't gotten to the big kicker yet.
That's not even the best.
So again, I'm kind of on board. I want to see what Worm Coil Engine is going to do in this standard, in this arena. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a Jace the Mind Sculptor. I'm okay with, you know, I don't think they'll put Faithless Looting now, but, you know, hell, Tron. Put Tron lands in there. That'd be great. All right. This will be fun. Absolutely. And then, like the guy who on the third or fourth round, he's kind of annoying you at the bar and you're really rethinking this whole going home with him thing. Wizards keeps on talking, and then they tell you that for what they want to do with this, and this is the big kicker, that instead of when you go for this historic format, instead of one wild card per each historic card, everything will cost two wild cards. So if you're going to cast, if you're going to create a Worm Coil Engine, which I think is a rare.
That's a mythic.
Is it mythic? Okay, mm-hmm. So to cast Worm Coil Engine, one Worm Coil Engine, not a playset, one. Two wild cards, two mythic wild cards. So to get a playset of anything is going to require eight wild cards.
Yeah.
That is where they lost me.
Uh-huh.
And then, again, like to use this analogy of the guy at the bar, it's closing time. And now he dropped that he has a wife and kids at home. And, you know, one of them is probably special needs because he's a complete and utter jerk douchebag. Because then they went on to say that, oh, by the way, the events for Historic, well, here's what we're going to do. Instead of letting you play Historic all quarter, what we're going to do is the last month of the quarter, we're going to let you have a ranked event the last month of the quarter. But the other 2 months, Not really. We'll have events where you can play stuff and you can always play a casual. But, you know, the events are only going to happen 4 months out of the year. So let me get this straight. Okay. First of all, you're only introducing some of the cards from modern sets. And again, I get it. Coding is a bitch. Fine. I'm in. Then you're going to charge me double the price for each of these cards to be crafted. Then, oh, and there's another kicker, but the, and I'll add this. Then you're going to only allow me to purchase booster packs at the $49 level. Okay, so unless these are 15 card packs, that's insane. And finally, you're only going to let me play this event once a month, 1 month out of a quarter, 4 months out of a year. Are you freaking nuts?
You missed one more detail out of that.
Did too. I really? See again? And now, yeah. Now he's not just, you know, with a special needs kid. Now he's going to tell you that he's wanted in 7 states. Go on.
Mm-hmm. So the special cards that are coming in are going to cost the double wild card rate.
Yeah, we went over that.
Yeah, after September 26th, so up until September 26th. Well, this is actually the point that I'm making. The cards that are rotating out of standard now
will become historic. Yeah,
will become historic. Any historic card will cost 2 wild cards. So even if you wanted a set of the Czech lands, the Buddy lands, and you don't already have them, if you don't get them by September 26th, those are going to cost you double wild cards as well. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you? It's basically the same thing like they were doing originally with Magic Online, which people eventually got used to, the fact that you had to buy your cards twice.
Yep.
How are you going to get people into this format if it's behind a paywall?
And that brings me to my point. All right. And this may be where we have combat, because I mean, I've thought about this, and now there are some people out there. Okay. There are content creators out there that have gone on record as saying that what they think Wizards is doing. And there is a tweet out there. We could talk about that too. There's a guy who used to work for Wizards who came out and said basically that Wizards does engage knowingly and with forethought in practices such as trying to get away with as much profit as they can and waiting until the backlash so that they look reasonable and then settling for what they really wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's business. I can get around that. I mean, it's like when I put something out if I sell something on Facebook or Craigslist, I automatically put it up for $25 more, thinking I'm going to be haggled down, but hoping I'm not. You know, and I get that. All right. That doesn't bother me.
It's one thing to mark up. It's another thing to gouge.
Yeah.
And it might be a business practice, but it's a bad business practice.
Well, that's just it. Like, I sit here now and for me, the double wildcard thing blows my mind. Don't get me wrong. The fact that you can only get this in a $49 bundle, mm-hmm. that's insane. Because what really, really burns my stones on this is that this format is only going to be usable 4 months out of the year in ranked.
Yep.
Okay, so that's horse crap. So not only am I going to spend twice as much to get cards, I can only play these cards that I'm spending twice as much for 4 months out of the year. I can only play them a quarter of the time, and I'm paying twice as much.
Yep.
That's insane.
This format's going to be for the whales, the people who have, you know, thousands of dollars of, maybe not thousands, but enough disposable income every month where they can just be like, you know what? I'm just going to buy 10 of these 45-pack bundles because I can.
Because you still need to use your wild cards on standard. You still have to buy your standard sets. And standard's still going to be the main thing. This is where, personally... I sit there and I look at this and I look at what the content creators think and I think, yes, okay, maybe they are doing this. Because to be quite honest, I'm sorry, these wild cards should not be used for historic. Historic, if you're gonna have a historic format, then, you know, half a wild card. So you get 2 of the historic for every wild card. That's how it should be. You know,
I have a slightly different take on that.
Okay.
And I'm going to be kind of piggybacking along what the professor said in Tolarian Community College.
Okay, I didn't see his stuff, but go on.
He had a video about this very thing. And one of his solutions I thought was the best solution. flashback drafts.
Okay.
Yes, you're drafting against bots. That sucks. Have a period of time. If you're going to be doing this quarterly, maybe a couple other months that they're not doing the actual historic format, you introduce these sets slowly. You have a flashback draft for Shadows over Innistrad. You have a flashback draft for Kaladesh. Maybe you charge an extra 500 gems to get in. You know, it's so you're still getting your markup. But that way people have a chance to play with the historic cards, also build their collection, and not have to break the bank to do it while still being able to play standard.
I actually have a completely different idea for this. Here's what I honestly think they should do. And I thought of this morning. Everybody bitches about free-to-play and how it's so hard to be an FTP player in Arena and succeed. And there are people that do it, and there are people that are ranked Mythic and are free-to-play, you know, because they learn how to draft, and they draft well, and they learn, you know, so I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay. What if instead of free-to-play being mainly in standard, you join Arena, you're a known user. When we release these 15 to 20 cards, they're in your collection. You have a playset of them all, and it's used only in historic. And when a rotation happens, all the cards go there. Free to play for you is historic. You are going to learn about the game. You're going to learn about the mechanics. You're going to learn about different mechanics. You're going to get an opportunity to play with things that you don't normally play with. And then when you're ready, start investing. And you can win things in historic, like wild cards, that you can use to start building your standard deck. But you put historic as the gateway as opposed to the destination. Because where they make their money is standard. They make their money in people wanting to build the meta deck that they saw on Twitch last week at the GP. Great. Wonderful. You're never going to be able to build the deck you saw in a modern GP in Arena. All right. You want to do that, you're going to have to go play MTGO. And I'm good with that. So make historic free to play. You want to do historic. Now, if you want to play in the ranked events, maybe you have to give them, you know, 500 or 1,000 gold. I'm good with that. But everybody has a historic. Everybody has all four, a playset of all the historic. Done.
I like that idea.
You bring it in and you say, and it, so they'll sit there and go, well, who's going to pay for all our coding time for all of this mechanics? This will bring players to Arena. This will not only bring new players to Arena. This is going to bring those people in MTGO who are like, I don't want to spend X amount of dollars on a Scalding Tarn. They're offering me the chance to play with the Scalding Tarn, to learn how to play with it in Arena for free. And then I might go, and now I know Wizards doesn't get anything off the secondary market, but then they might go buy it in paper. And then if Wizards are smart, when they release it in Zendikar, people will go buy a whole lot of Zendikar trying to get these checklands, because now they know how to play them. New standard people ain't going to know how to play a damn checkland. They don't know what the hell it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's where Wizards is missing the boat here, is that if they made it free to play in historic, because that's what they did. Nobody remembers this. When they first went from, when they first brought in, not Kaladesh. Oh yeah, Kaladesh. When they first brought Kaladesh into Arena.
In the beta, yeah.
You got one, even if it's not a playset, you got one of every card. I got a Chandra. I got this. And when they went to open beta, I got a Teferi. I got one of every card so that I could start building decks. That's what they need to do. I think you go that way, you're gonna engender a ton of goodwill from the community. You're gonna save wild cards for your real money bags, which is standard. Because if you make this impossible, what's gonna happen is nobody's gonna play it, which again, I don't think Wizards gives a crap. But then it's going to hurt Arena, because people are going to say, I'm not going to spend money in Arena for cards that are going to rotate out that I can't do anything with. It doesn't answer that question. Well, what the hell do I do with these cards?
My other problem too is that I think it's a bad idea to inject 15 to 20 select cards every couple of months, because if you're picking, the problem is if they're doing what I think they're going to do, they're going to pick these really good cards like Wormcoil Engine.
Right.
And what's going to happen is that you're going to have to get Wormcoil Engine, because then your deck won't compete. And
that's eight wild cards gone from standard, which means nobody's going to be playing standard events because nobody's got the deck to be able to play it.
Yeah, and I feel like it would have been better off if they'd spent their time wrapping up the, you know, the debugging of Kaladesh and Amaket block, release those piecemeal. You could do it slowly and go backwards. You know, so you do Amonkhet first, then you do Hour of Devastation, then you do Kaladesh, then you do Aether Revolt. You know, go backwards in that respect.
What I like, though, I'm going to disagree with you on one regard. I like the idea of a little bit of a curation being done, because you know what? If you think about it, Shadows over Innistrad had a lot of crap.
Yeah, but
they had a lot of cards you didn't play.
But the problem too is Arena's not just constructed. You want to be able to draft these cards and play limited as well.
Well, the problem is Arena is 100% constructed by programmers. Every one of those piece of crap cards, okay, every one of those cards that you're not going to, you know, want or need, still requires 7 to 10 hours probably of a programmer. I get not doing the whole sets. Like, the reason they do MTGO is they've kept up with it since, I mean, the MTGO came out in what, 99, 98? Granted, they haven't updated the client since 99 or 98, but, you know, they invested what they did in the programmers, and they have a system now to where they can get these cards in there pretty easily and pretty quickly. Arena requires certain level of coding, and so you can't code an entire backward set. Now, to
five
say
of these
that,
sets are already in there,
a lot of the current ones. But you know what?
They're done.
Czech lands aren't.
No, but
Tron isn't.
The Czech lands are in there, but they can go all the way back to Shadows over Innistrad. But that's already all
years.
There.
That's 6 years out of 25.
No, you're not. I'm not talking about full modern. Just for historic.
No, I know. Yeah, but historic.
They're not going to go back to full modern.
I think they want to get as close as they can get. I do.
They're going to push historic super hard.
Of course.
And
no, I don't think they are. I think if you're going to push historic hard, you're going to do it more than once every 3 months. They're not going to push it very hard. I think they're doing this to kind of shut us up about rotation.
This is a missed opportunity. It's a big missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's 100% missed
opportunity. Kaladesh and Amonkhet Block are already fully coded and fully
and programmed. I agree.
They're ready to go. They just have to flip a switch and these sets are released. Shadows over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon are mostly in there. They have to finish those two sets.
I know why they're not doing it, though. Well, Kaladesh and Amonkhet, here's the thing. You were not a part of the closed beta. I was. I had a playset of Hazoret. I had a playset of Glorybringer. I had a playset of Soulscar Mage that I spent wild cards to get because I built my red deck. So I get where I could understand too, them maybe being like, if we release this, then the people are going to be kind of pissed off.
Well,
because
those cards were good in the rotation before Dominaria, before right. Ravnica, before War of the Spark, Core right. 2020, Core 19, all these other sets came out that would, even if Mono Red is still really good in historic, there's going to be enough out there to combat it.
But what I'm saying is that I would feel like part of me would feel like, mother huckers, I already spent the money. You have my receipts. You know where I spent money. You know what
they're doing it anyway.
I know.
They're doing it anyway.
But it's where I sit there. Here's another thing.
Because I lost a bunch of cards when they reset the collections too.
All right. You stop historic. You're like, okay, you know what? We're not going to do historic. Here's what you could do. Dusting. Introduce dusting. At the end of rotation, we're going to dust your collections and you're going to get wild cards commensurate with what you have. For every, you know, five commons, we'll give you a common wild card. So it's a 1 for 5. Now, I'm saying individual cards, not play sets. So I have 4 Teferis. You dust my Teferis. That gives me 4 rare wild cards for us to be able to go and rebuild our collections based off that, or you'd come up with something like that, but allowing us to dust our sets, you know, would be better, I think, than this historic, because it would allow us to be able to get a head start on the next thing. They won't do it because what happens is it's not good for new players. It doesn't help the new players at all. Like, you're going to have people that have been playing this game from jump, you know, who we have, I almost have a full play set of Dominaria. You know, and so if I go and dust my Dominaria set, is that 260 wild cards? You know, and what am I? What could I do with 260 wild cards? I don't know what the answer is there, but I think
they screwed the pooch on this one pretty good.
I think they need to. They got to go back to the drawing board again. And yes, there is no doubt in my mind they're going to come out in a week or two, and they're going to say, "Okay, we've heard you. 1-for-1 wild cards." And again, I don't think that's enough.
No, like, I love the idea of historic. I like the idea of a non-rotating format. I feel like they would have been better off spending the energy that they're spending on curating these cards, spending that energy on finishing the sets that are already in the program. They don't have to go all the way back to Magic Origins. They can go back just to Shadows for now, you know, and down the road, once a year.
I want some of those that are backward, and I want some of those that are further back. I do think a Warm Coil Engine is going to change historic, and it's going to give you real power, you know, and it's going to let you
go in every deck.
It's going to go in every deck,
but it shouldn't be like that.
How should it be? Like, I mean, all right. So say Warm Coil Engine doesn't go in every deck. What about Karn? Does Karn go in every deck?
If they just Karn liberated. Yeah, if they did Karn Liberated, it probably would go in every deck. But that's the problem, is that it warps the metagame to the point where you're playing that card, you're playing to beat that card.
Mm-hmm. Historic's going to warp. I mean, there's going to be the historic meta is going to be warped. There's no way around that. I think if you're going to introduce it, for a while, historic's going to be warped. It is, and there's nothing you can do about it. Even if you introduce Kaladesh and Amonkhet and the Eldritch Moon, I don't know that it's enough for me to, you know, so what? Now, okay, instead of Warm Coil Engine, everybody's playing energy. You know, is Aether, is Attune with Aether and, you know, Rogue Refiner, are they unbanned?
I think that's one of the, no pun intended, but that's one of the wild cards of the format, is that if they hadn't done the cure, I mean, they're not obviously going to release the old sets, but if they had released the old sets instead of this curated list, would they have revisited the banned cards of that standard format to say, okay, do we want these cards there? You know what I mean? So you could still play them in casual or best of one or whatever they want to do it. But I don't know. It's just, I don't think the curated 15 to 20 cards, because what if there's a card in there that's not something you wanted? What if there's a card you wanted to be included and it's not there? Then you're also be like, well, what's the point? Because now there's nothing there for me anyway.
Well, there's enough there between Ixalan, Rivals, Dominaria.
But those cards aren't the ones that are in the curated list. These are cards from farther back. You know, so it's like, if you didn't want to see Snapcaster Mage, you wanted to see a different, like, if you wanted to see Thoughtseize and it's not in there.
Right.
You know, what do you like? What's, does the format lose its appeal for you? It's,
but
like,
there's other things. I mean, you're not going to please everybody with this because you're not releasing the full sets.
And that's the thing. If you release the full sets, you're never going to please everyone.
But no, but you can't. Again, I understand what they're saying. You can't release the full set. All right. So the only way that I think that they could ever release the full sets is if they say, we are done with MTGO because we need to take those 26 programmers or however many they have, and we need to put them on programming or finding some way to transfer MTGO's database into Arena.
Doesn't have
Which,
to be
by the way, why the hell didn't you design a database that could talk to MTGO? And boom, there you go. But in any event, you know, but I mean, the point is, I mean, from a money standpoint, you only have so much manpower. You know, MTGO, nobody wants to let that go yet.
Hire more. It's Hasbro. Easy for you to have the money. Yeah, it's Hasbro. But this is not Wizards of the Coast we're talking about here. This is Hasbro. They have a lot more money than that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, it's. I think you're going to see.
They're making record profits with Magic.
They are making record profits with Magic. But I don't think putting out a whole. I don't need, you know, Flame Coil or, you know, Flame Lash. I don't. I don't need it. Like, why set up a set where, you know, I'm going to have to get Flame Lash or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, think
the
about
only
that
things some... you want out of Kaladesh is Chandra, Hazoret. Amonkhet, she is. But, I mean, do you understand what I mean? Like, you want Chandra and some of the energy out of Kaladesh. Well,
I want to draft with the old sets. I've never drafted Shadows over the Inner Set. I've never drafted, you know, like Battle for Zendikar. I've never, like, for someone like me who came into the game later, getting a chance to draft these older sets, I can't do that at my local game store. I can't really do that on Magic Online unless they happen to do an event for that.
Right.
You know,
and so I get that.
That's the thing too. If you're going to do a historic format and go backwards, which again, they're not really, except for the curated stuff,
right?
But you can't draft the curated cards.
Well, that's just it. I think that they're going to have to, they'll make it so you can draft the curated cards. What they'll do is they'll create draft packs out of everything that's in historic.
They'd have to do like cubes, and then maybe I could see that, but I'd rather, like I said, I'd rather have a draft where I'm opening up Kaladesh packs or Shadows Over Innistrad packs. Or
I don't Battle disagree. It would be nice if they opened up the programs on the stuff that's out there. It would be nice if Historic contained all of Amonkhet, all of Kaladesh, and curated cards. I like the idea of some curated cards. I like the idea of some of the modern staples. You know, Thing in the Ice would be great in draft, in or Historic. Yeah, depends on how you look at it. But or I mean,
it might not be playable. Who knows? Right.
It's just there's so much in modern that would be really great. Like I said, I'd love to see Tron. I would. Give me Tron, man. Give me Tron with some of the green shit we got going on in Standard. You know,
And the other thing, too, is just the power level of some of the cards that they're looking at. Like, say one of the cards that was on the list was Lightning Bolt. How many spells does that obsolete?
A lot of people think Lightning Bolt's coming in a throne, by the way. I've seen some people talking about that.
Well, they already have a three damage. There's already a three damage spell in the set that's common, so it's not going to be Lightning Bolt.
Oh, okay.
That's the one with the new mechanic. But if Lightning Bolt was in that curated set.
Mm-hmm. And it should be. It's in every red deck.
But then Shock is useless. All like Shivan Fire is useless.
No, it's not useless. Because it's strictly
worse.
But if you're playing a burn deck, Shock is in burn anyway.
No, because you're playing Wizard's Lightning instead. You're playing Skewer the Critics instead. You're playing Lightning Bolt. There's 12 bolts right there.
Standard. If we're making a historic,
that's historic.
If you're making a historic burn deck, you may not
play
Wizard's
Shock.
I would definitely play Shock because it's a one drop.
It's not going to be as good.
It's not going to be as good as Lightning Bolt. But when I was when I had my Modern as a Phoenix, Shock was in there. I had four Shocks in the Lightning Bolts because you needed the can. It's a cantrip. You absolutely are going to.
It's not a cantrip. You don't draw any cards off of that.
No, but I'm just saying it's like a one drop. It's like when I hear say cantrip, I think of because I play Sorcerer in D&D. So it's automatically like, something I can keep doing with very minimal cost.
Yeah, but I think was the Shock your own personal edition?
No. No, every deck list I saw had Shock in it. It had four bolts. At least two or three Shocks. Then there were no Lightning Strikes. There was obviously four Faithless Lootings.
Well, that's the thing too. It also obsolescences Lightning Strike. There's no point.
I'm okay with that. Everybody's okay with that. My God, if you can have Lightning Bolt instead of Lightning Strike, you would do it. I want Historic to be different than Standard. I do. I do want it to be different than Standard.
Well, it's going to be different off the offset anyway, because it's going to have Throne of Eldraine in it. Whereas Standard's going to lose, Ixalan, Rivals of Ixalan, Dominaria, Corset.
Absolutely.
It's already going to be its own unique format.
And I agree. I think there's room for curated. I'm good with it. I'm good with a curated list. Bring me some of the modern staples. You know, like I said, like Bolt's a fine example. Bolt's in any red deck. You have it in every red deck. You have to. The card they just unbanned is going to go in almost every white deck. What the hell's its name there?
Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah, it's Stoneforge Mystic. That's going to go in every deck. Okay, I'm good with it. Like, go ahead. Make that part of the curated list.
Well, the thing with Stoneforge, it's more of a unique, card, though. I mean, there's not a ton of cards floating around that do what Stoneforge Mystic does. That's the thing with Lightning Bolt, that there's a bunch of stuff that does damage. Lightning Bolt's the best at it.
And here's my other thought, okay? And from here on out, you want Historic. Okay, next year when you do Modern Horizons 2, code it. Bring those in. Why not? Yeah. They're historic cards. You know,
I've very much soured on the idea of historic after these announcements. I'm really hoping that they change it.
Here's the thing: they're gonna walk the two wild cards back. There's no way they don't walk those back. If they don't, they full on are trying to kill historic right out of the gate. They're going to walk that back. I think they're going to walk back probably. They're going to have to walk back anything that requires us to open our wallet. I think they'll walk back the $49.99 bundle being the only way you can buy packs.
I don't know about that.
I think you have to. I think they have to. Because if they don't, again, if you, the only way now that I can get historic cards is by burning two wild cards, which is going to keep me out of standard, or spend $50.
They probably keep the $50 option, but add another cheaper option.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they, I don't think they walk it back completely.
No, but when I say walk back, what they said was, this is the one everybody buys. It's like bull crap. Yeah. We buy it when it first comes out. I'll buy a Throne of Eldraine bundle because you do. But that doesn't mean that's the only way I buy it. I also buy a shit ton of packs, and I also play draft, and I also do. So, yeah, don't do that. Don't pee on my head and tell me it's Raining Wizards. I think they have to roll back the money. I think they're going to also try to have to, if they really want to do this, they're going to have to find some way to justify spending money for a format I can only play 4 months out of the year in ranked.
Yeah.
Because that is, you know, that's a problem.
How about they just give us a friends list? How's that?
I'd be fine with that. Listen, give me chat too. I'm sorry, chat should be there. But I want to see more from them regarding this. And it's not done. There'll be more announcements within the next week or two, because they can't not. Because if they don't do something, then there's going to be a lot of people. Either that or just introduce dusting. Like I said, let me dust my Ixalan.
They have to tweak this. I think we can leave it at that. They need to fix this. This has been soundly criticized from every corner of the community. I have yet to find more than maybe a handful of people who are completely behind these changes.
Right. And so I think with that, we're going to end our combat because we're both in agreement that this sucks diddly ups. So.
Main phase.
Listen, I want to give a good amount of time to this because I just started playing it tonight. The Brawl event is live on Arena. You can now play the what is it, 6-4 precons?
Four.
Okay, so there are four precons of Brawl for Throne of Eldraine. The new Brawl decks are up there. Highly recommend playing it. I rolled one earlier. I did the Esper one. I had a lot of fun with it. I lost, but I really didn't understand a lot of what was going on with it. So, I mean, I'm going to play some more. I think that's all we should say about it. We're already over time anyway. I really want to have a little bit of time. I think you and I both should play it this week on our own and come back with some more thoughts on it. What do you think? I mean,
I played like two games with the Bant one.
Yeah.
Seemed fun.
It is. It's,
I'm glad that's
Commander.
Here.
It's Die Commander. And oh, dude, I got to tell you, I'm loving the 2019 Commander sets. I've got two and I'm going to go get the Morph one. I'm having a blast with the freaking Populate one, man. I put Anointed Procession in there. I'm like,
I haven't had a chance to play mine yet, so I'm really I need a chance to play it. I haven't been able to play it yet.
We got to do something because the guys at the club, they want to play almost only Commander. We had a non-training day Friday, and so half the day, so we're sitting in the rack. Because it was raining, and they said, "Hey, board games." We're like, "We're gonna play our own game," and we had a four on Commander, and it was stupid. All precons, and I said, "Okay, I won't play Atraxa because the minute I pull Atraxa out, they run."
Yeah, because that deck is absurd.
It's amazing, but I played the Populate deck. I threw a Anointed Procession in there. I think I'm gonna put Crested Sunmare in there. I know there's not a lot of life gain.
Who cares? Who cares?
I know. There's enough life gain where if I can just get one horse out and then start populating the horse.
Yeah. So that's fine. That's
Idea. I'm also going to put in the God Pharaoh's Gift because I'm like, ooh.
What about Divine Visitation?
I should put Divine Visitation in there. Well, because Divine Visitation only creates the angels, and some of the stuff created by this is actually pretty powerful on its own, and I like it.
True.
But I love the thought of God Pharaoh's Gift, you know, going back in the graveyard for things that they destroyed, or even Parhelion
too.
Yeah,
put Parhelion in there.
Yeah, because you can ramp into that pretty good. So
yeah.
The mana base on these precons of Commander, they suck. You're gonna need your shocks. You're gonna need checks. You're gonna need it. Yeah, you gotta fix it because I think it's like 40 basics in there and something stupid and crazy like that. So
time is getting fetch lands.
Yeah, next week we will talk more about the Brawl event, but let's go ahead and just get right into
End Step.
All right, I told you folks, this episode was going to be full of everything. I mean, we talked for an hour straight. I could have talked for another hour. So as we're picking up our boxes and putting things together, we want to let you guys know that both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers Podcast, and you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I'm hoping to start streaming pretty soon here. It's September, and I said I would start. So I'm going to try to pick a day during the week. I'm thinking Wednesday nights, so not tonight because we recorded, duh. But otherwise,
your mom for me.
Wow. but if Twitter is more your speed, you can also find our show at Planes Talker Pod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planes Talker Podcast and like and follow our page. You can also watch us record live whenever we do it.
Yep, and you can see Benson just fly off the rails every single time.
I'm amazing.
Nerd! Yes. Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you want to send us an email for that, or even just to tell us how we're doing on the show, if you have a suggestion or comment or feedback, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, feel free to leave us reviews on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever else you hear the show. We'd love to read them on the show, especially if they're positive. And it really does help with the visibility of the show. But with that, we're going to start backing ourselves out of here. We want to thank you guys for listening. Next week, we're going to have, obviously, a lot more Throne of Eltarine spoilage. We are going to talk about Brawl. I'm sure we're going to talk about any updates they've had to the historic format. Yes. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson. I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. And I want to remind you to remember to always save some of your lands, keep them on tap, because you never know when you'll need them. Take care.